This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Kenneth Grant is the newest Miami Dolphin defensive lineman out of Michigan. We had thought they were going to take a corner from Michigan. They ended up going with the D lineman. I don't think anybody's upset. I think people are pretty pleased with it. I'll go over some draft grades later on in the show. Seems to be like a consensus B, consensus in the B arena, B minus B. But that's kind of what you were looking for. There were going to be no earth-shattering names to come from the Miami Dolphins. You kind of wanted a grinder, and he seems like he may be it. So we'll talk about Kenneth Grant today. The Miami Hurricanes quarterback Cam Ward, he is officially the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Yeah. That is pretty good calling card for the Canes football program and Mario Cristobal. So congratulations to Cam Ward. We got to enjoy him for a full season, and enjoy him we did. I think he's going to make an excellent quarterback in the NFL and at Tennessee. And the Panthers, you know, they take this 2-0 lead over the Lightning. And now the series shifts to Sunrise. The Cats are so far in the driver's seat that it's kind of hard to get your head around it. They won the first game, if I'm thinking about it right. Tampa has scored one goal off Bob in two games.
Two, right? Because didn't they win 6-2? Did they pull Bob in the third period?
I think you're right.
Game one. Yeah, it was 6-2.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Two goals in two games.
Yeah.
Crowder hit the under last night. And the Cats, man, they are in the driver's seat. I mean, to be up 2-0 after having had the first two games in Tampa, wow. What are you holding there? You got a white-hot shirt for your broadcast tomorrow?
Yeah, a little goodie from some goodies from the Heat. They sent over my white-hot polo for tomorrow.
Very exciting. 1 o'clock. So what time's your pregame start tomorrow on this radio station?
Man, you turn on 560 tomorrow, you're getting Heat all day. Tommy Tighe, 10 to 11:30 with Heat Weekly.
Oh, he's going and then you guys start at 11:30.
I start at 11:30, take you up till 12:30. Hawk for 15 minutes of Heat later if we have some time. I did spend some time with Nico Jovic after practice today.
Oh.
I spoke with Nico. I asked him about the late game issues. We can play some of it if you want, but
I would love to hear that. I want to hear his take on the air balls and the turnover.
Didn't exactly frame it that way.
You gotta grill them. You know my interview style. I grill people.
Look at this.
Crowder's here. You made it home?
Yes. As soon as I texted y'all, they took off. We damn near missed the connecting flight, but we made it.
I was just making fun of you because I was watching your social media and you were under a Green Bay Packers fleece blanket while Fred and RC seemed to be having no problem with the cold.
Man, it was cold as hell out there. It was like 46 degrees. They talking about, this ain't nothing. Man, you go to hell. I live in Miami.
Seemed like I was saying to Solana, seemed like a consensus B pick for the Dolphins. I don't know much about him, but you wanted fat guys, or I mean, he's not. I don't know if he's a fat guy.
He's a big guy.
He's a lineman.
He's fat, bro.
Yeah,
is he fat?
He's fat.
Yeah, I told you. I want some gestational diabetes kids. I want some kids that were big in the womb, and he's a big human being. I love it. Like he the motor. Everybody can talk about the motor. It seems like it's another Christian Wilkins, hopefully.
Which they could absolutely use.
So. Yes. But it's not sexy. There's no.
But we didn't expect sexy. Like, that's fine. Like, yeah. You kind of wanted to get out of round one without sexy, right? Yes. I mean, you needed, like, pieces. And I think they certainly have a lot of positions of need. And line, both sides needed to be addressed. Cornerback, we thought it was going to be the corner out of Michigan. Ends up being the D lineman, but yeah, they've got some places that they need to address, and I think they did it last night.
Yeah, and the corner out of Michigan is still on the board.
Yep.
Interesting. So
that's the thing, is though everybody was saying, what was his name, Will Johnson or something?
Yeah.
He 32 other teams didn't think he was a first round pick either. That's what I always look at too. So
interesting. Well, we'll see what happens. That same thing happened with Shedeur Sanders. I mean, there's, you know, all this guy. I don't want to give it too much breath because there's a lot of guys who don't get drafted in the first round, and yes. I think it takes away from people who were drafted. My personal take, I would imagine people assessed him and found that he didn't meet the needs of their team in the first round. That doesn't mean that a team doesn't assess that he meets their needs if he's available in the second round. It just means he didn't jump the line to the first round.
Yeah. Russell Wilson went fourth round. Everybody knows the Tom Brady seventh round story. Like, he can go on and be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
But the Giants have never drafted a black quarterback. And I saw that last night. Yeah, they had it up. It was like Phil Simms, Eli, all the way. Eli came from San Diego, but all the way down the list, they've never. They don't like black quarterbacks. I don't know what it is.
But isn't their quarterback black?
They have two.
Ooh, the Giants?
They have two black quarterbacks right now. Yeah.
Never drafted a black quarterback.
I got you. But, I mean, you can't say they don't like black quarterbacks because both their quarterbacks are black.
Bring us into work.
Well, I mean, whether you do it through the draft or free agency, you're still bringing them into work. Yeah, I don't buy any of the hoo-ha. Other than we assess these kids who are coming out of college and they go, if this guy's available, I'm taking this guy. And if that guy's available, I'm taking that guy. I think a lot of people were surprised at Pittsburgh. But the more I watch the morning shows today, it really seems, because who was it? It may have been Dan Graziano saying, hey, if you've got kind of a handshake deal with Aaron Rodgers, how do you call them and say, oh, by the way, we drafted a quarterback in the first round, which is what annoys him wherever he goes. Like, if you think Aaron Rodgers is the answer, you've got to allow him to be the answer.
Yeah. And the thing with Shedeur, you got to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good. Your dad being Deion Sanders gave you so much clout from Truth Academy to Jackson State to Colorado. School. Yeah, like like his dad was bringing him up through the ranks for, what, 10 years? Now you get to the NFL, and that's not how it is. They're not going to let Deion decide on anything. So this was his first, you know, everybody kept saying he's humbled by this. I don't know if he's humbled by this. He's going to be a quarterback in the NFL here, I believe, tonight, guaranteed.
I think
But now he has to deal with grown man stuff. I think Deion might have to. You know, pulled a nickel.
I mean, we've watched it with Bronny James. We've watched it with LeVar Ball. Like, it happens. You get good and bad. Bronny James is not in the NBA without his dad.
Yep.
But conversely, Bronny James doesn't have a microscope on him when he does play in the NBA if it wasn't for his dad. You get the good with the bad.
And what if Deion was currently playing with the New York Giants? I think he goes to the New York Giants.
Yeah.
But Deion is not helping the New York Giants right now. So, yeah, he has to take that bottle out of his mouth. And I think more than Shedeur being humbled, it's Deion looking at it like, yeah, I can't control his career anymore. I can't control anybody. Because the report was that the Giants had a handshake deal like, hey, no, don't worry, we're going to come back in to get a quarterback. And that's why – you saw, like, when the draft was going on, Shedeur got up, he put his chain on, and he's acting all excited because there was supposed to be some kind of communication between them, and then Jackson Dart gets off the board. That's part of the game, baby.
Part of the game. Let's get headlines for the 2 o'clock hour here, the start of the show, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Maybe he just shouldn't have been as hyped as he was if throughout the entire season if he wasn't ever going to be evaluated like a top five quarterback. I don't know. I just feel like the attention was more so because he's Deion's son rather than, hey, he's a legitimate top five pick.
He had some great games, though, over the last couple of seasons. Like games where you were like, huh, is that game from, where was it, Jackson State or Jacksonville State, going to translate to a major conference? And it seemed to. Remember the first few games? You're like, oh, yeah, like this guy's legitimately good. But they chose also to put a spotlight on him. But again, LeBron did that with Bronny, and, and there's good that comes with that, and there's bad that comes with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
His numbers were dumb. And he was a Big 12 player, the offensive player of the year. Like, he can play football. Is he an 8 and he became a 9.5 because of his dad? Like, the Sanders names mean something, but he's not. Shador's better at football than Bronny is at basketball.
Yeah. No question. No question.
I don't know. I get what you're saying. I don't think, like, I don't think they're in the same conversation, in my opinion. Like, I realize why you're using one to talk about the other, but I'm not saying Shador Sanders is a bad player. I think he'll be drafted in the second or the third round, and I hope he has a really good NFL career. My point is, everybody talked about him like if he belonged in the conversation with Cam Ward, when in reality he probably didn't.
Mel Kiper has him rated over Cam Ward. Again, here's where I take issue with people on either side. If you think that an NFL executive is not assessing Shador Sanders properly because they don't like his dad, I have a tough time believing that. But conversely, if you think Mel Kiper is overestimating Shador Sanders because of his dad, I take issue with that as well. And I'm not telling you Kiper's right on everything, because he's probably wrong more than he's right. I'm just saying people have their evaluations. Sometimes the evaluation's right, sometimes it's wrong, but I genuinely believe in people are going to try to do the best for, if it's Mel Kiper, his reputation, if it's a football team, for their team that they're fielding. And I don't think anything really comes into play other than what they genuinely believe the assessment is.
Yeah. Deion didn't throw 74% completions. Deion didn't have 4,100 yards or throw 37 touchdowns with only 10 interceptions.
Those are gaudy numbers.
Those are gaudy numbers. They're right. The numbers are there with Cam Ward. Was Cam in a better conference in the ACC? Yes. Big 12 is not. Yeah, I'm not impressed by the Big 12, but Shador can play. It's just amped up so much. If he's going to be the third quarterback taken, there's nobody. The next quarterback taken is going to be Shador. If his name was Shador Thompson, we wouldn't be talking about him, and he wouldn't be the highlight. To your point, Solana, he would not be the highlight of ESPN today. So, but that's why I said take the good with the bad and the bad with the good. Your dad's name amped you up to a worldwide fame level, money. He's a millionaire already. But now, to Hawk's point too, the NFL teams watched film, and obviously they thought Cam Ward was better than him. The Giants obviously thought Jackson Dart was better than him, and that's what it is. But it's funny. There's people that feel sorry for him. He's about to get drafted and go be an NFL quarterback. I don't feel sorry at all for the Sanders family today.
I mean, when you have the context of the Sanders family, I don't. But, bro, how can you not feel sorry for anybody who had that party yesterday? You guys see the Instagram video that Deion ended up posting after?
I tell you what, I was impressed by Shador and the way he addressed his
for
party.
Sure. But it's sad.
And Shiloh was funny too, because Shiloh was like, oh man, if it's going this way for you, what's going to happen to me?
He ain't never drafted my ass.
I happen to think, you know, the weird thing about Deion, everything that I've seen from him, because he does rub me the wrong way at times. Like, I think the retiring of the numbers is silly. It's like overboard. But, man, every time I hear him really speak on stuff, I think he's a very impressive guy. I do. Yeah. I think, you know, doesn't curse. I think he genuinely believes, while he's got braggadocia. And if you watch, like if you were my age, you actually got to watch him play. Like the dude backed it up. Like this wasn't LeVar Ball, you know, talking about putting up 1.5. This dude was one of the best that you've ever seen do it. But I think he's a genuinely good coach who has his players' interests at heart, and he fathers his children, I think, the way I would David. I would hype David up at every step of the way and maybe not give too much thought as to what the repercussions might be, because as a dad, my job is just to make sure that he's getting maximized and doing what he wants to do. So I really don't have a problem with it. And they seem to be good kids too, to be quite honest.
Great kids, never been in trouble. You've never heard anything negative about Shiloh or Shador or Bucky, their older brother. They're a good family. Why not amp your kid up? LeBron and him, why not amp your kid up? And if he doesn't make it, oh, he doesn't make it.
But I gave it my best shot. Yep.
I did the best as a father I can. You know, the draft jumped out to me, and they were giving me a hard time last night watching it. Maxwell Hairston, he got drafted 30th to the Bills. He was the kid with the silver jacket on that hugged every single draft pick.
That guy was awesome. I loved that kid. Did you see his little interview?
Yes.
That guy was awesome.
I'm watching. I'm like, damn, Hugman's there again. I started calling him Hugman because every single name he wouldn't hug. I said, Hugman better get drafted in the first round.
He was awesome.
To number 30 for him to get picked.
He was awesome.
He ran a 4.24 or something at his pro day. Something crazy. Because now I have to know who he is.
I love people who are having fun and enjoying what they do and realizing like, hey, this is like, you know, some kids get up there. It's just their personality. They mumble a couple of words. They, you know, give dab to someone or what. Like this dude was just sucking it up.
Yeah. That big guy from Tennessee, he had no words for the little interview lady. Hey, big game changing, big life changing night tonight, isn't it? Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, you know, you go to a great organization, and you can really make a piece, you know, be a piece of a great defense. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Mr. Pierce. I say, yeah, Jack, he's not going on the media tour.
Anyway, let's get a quick look at the headlines here with Solano. We have a lot going on.
So Kenneth Grant, nose tackle, defensive tackle out of Michigan, started there 2 years, won a national title with Michigan as well. Today, starting at 7, rounds 2 and 3 in the NFL draft, the Dolphins have a second-round selection and a third-round selection. Pick number 48. Pick number 98. This is where the meat and potatoes of your team are built, gentlemen, in rounds 2 and 3.
I mean, there should be an offensive lineman taken in one of these two picks for the Dolphins.
Guaranteed. Has to be. We need to get Liam Eichenberg off that first team. That's tonight. Tonight, Liam Eichenberg needs to get off of the first team offensive line.
The Florida Panthers did win yesterday 2-0. And goal number 1 was scored by none other than my guy, Paul Schmidt.
Paul Schmidt has come. Is his first name Paul?
It's Nate Schmidt. I don't know why I called him Paul Schmidt. I had it written down in my notes as Paul, but I knew it was Nate. Well, I was double checking.
It didn't sound right. I think Paul Schmidt was a
baseball player.
Baseball player, but that's Mike Schmidt, who you're thinking of. I don't know.
Well, whatever.
That guy. Number 88. Guys, all of a sudden, he's everywhere. You must have hit your under yesterday with no problem. That was nice.
Up 2-0.
He's outscored the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know what they say, guys. Schmidt happens.
Very true.
He planned that all day. That's why he forgot his first name.
Awful.
I mean, Schmidt happens, you know.
We got you the first time. It's truly awful.
I like this a lot.
Yeah. would have been better if I got the guy's first name right, but listen, man.
Nate. Old Nate.
So game 3 for the Florida Panthers is tomorrow, 1 p.m. in Sunrise. Happens to be the same time as the Miami Heat are playing game three at the Kaseya Center versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, 1 p.m. tomorrow.
All right.
I think I'm watching the Panthers.
Yeah.
I'm still good.
Yeah.
I think I'm going Panthers.
Maybe a little split screen action. Have the Heat in one box, Panthers in the other. No?
Fair.
My confidence in the teams are very different.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen much in the first couple of games to give me a lot of hope for tomorrow. But you know what? Eric Spoelstra, he's always got a little something up his sleeve. I think I saw Ira tweet out a picture today of, you know, Riley and Spo and, like, the entire brain trust there at the practice court. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to figure this out.
And they smelled blood in the water last game, so.
They did.
All right, welcome back, and a good morning. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Panthers come back home up 2-0 with the big shutout last night. Only negative in the game is Barkov took a hell of a hit there in the third period, and hopefully he's going to be okay. Probably find out more. Really not a whole lot of time to rest there. Game three for both the Heat and the Panthers. You can't make this up. Tomorrow, both at 1 o'clock. So don't know what your plans are. And, oh, by the way, also the fourth through the seventh round will start at noon tomorrow as well for you draft junkies.
How does that happen? The 1 o'clock. Like, don't they get together and say, hey, can we push it by 3 hours? One of the leagues, doesn't someone budge?
I don't know if they even look. What do you always think they look at?
But here's the thing, Joe. It's not like they're starting at 7 o'clock. Like, I get it if you're both night games. 1 o'clock? On a Saturday? Like, what are we doing?
They're getting all these games in. I just.
What are we doing, man?
We do this every year. We always go. They're like.
But I get it if it's at night. All right. Whatever. But man, oh, man.
It is funny, though, when the Dolphins play, it seems like they make it a point to make sure they don't have games the same time. You ever notice that? They'll play in the same day, but not at the same time.
No, he'll play at 5 o'clock on Sunday.
They don't mess when the NFL. But, like, these guys, like, really? Like, does anybody look at the schedule to, you know, again?
Just, yeah.
I don't know what the crossover fan base. We've done this for years. I know.
I'm guessing there's a good percentage. I mean, I happen to count myself as one of those.
Well, you're the wrong guy to ask, Woody, because you're in our business.
I know, but I'm guessing people that listen to our show, most people listen to our show probably like, here's the other thing, Joe, the Panthers games, I mean, the Panthers are obviously a better product right now as far as being competitive.
It might be the best product in hockey again right now.
Yes, they may.
By the way, they're playing.
They shut that team down last night, and you could tell how frustrated they got when they try to take Barkov out like that. What a dirty play, man.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Well,
I hope it's not his head. I hope he's okay. But
that goes back when we had that day about who, you know, hockey and football, and I go, ooh, that's one of those exceptions last night because he just turned. It looks like he literally just went to turn, and he got lifted up. Hagel hit him pretty good speed and took him right off his feet onto the ice. And,
no, that was an I want to hurt this guy and take him out type of hit.
Well, there
he went high.
I feel like. Game three, and by the way, these guys, both teams just openly say, we hate you. They don't even say, we dislike you. They go, I hate you. And I just think it's going to pick up. Those guys handled their composure nicely last night and said, let's get the win. And
that's the best rivalry we have in our town right
now.
Oh,
my God. I've been saying that. I know.
Yep. I don't think it's close.
These guys just openly talk about it. It's been a great one. And for the last few years, instead of looking at all their great names, and they got four or five great players, I think they led the league in goals this past year. And you look at the numbers, they have, four guys with 37-plus goals. And you look at your team and go, we're right there with you, man, if not more. And Big Bob has just been fantastic, got great defense in front of them and making it tough. 19 saves last night. You know, it's funny. You talk about Big Bob. He didn't have save 30, 35, 40 shots like it used to be. And, you know how many you can give up. Those guys do a really good job in front of them. So anyway, we got that. They're up 2-0, and we got the draft. And I know a lot of people, listen, I think this Kenneth Grant pick is great. It's the right position. I don't know. If the thing I hear is he's got major upside, he's a huge man. Whether he plays at 330 to 3, I heard up to 345. And he's got quickness, and you know, and he's got the right coach. No, this guy they have, Austin Clark, is one of the best defensive line coaches in the business. And I'm just going by the work that he's done with Christian Wilkins and some other guys to where they were, to where they ended up being to get the contract. He's taken some journeymen and got them new contracts other places. I just think he does a really, really good job. You know, I don't know what makes one guy get through to guys over another guy. But he's got a big, talented guy. And if he wants to be great, he's got a great start with all the gifts that he has to help us on that defensive line. And, hey, Zach Sealers, he's got a neighbor, new neighbor, and it could be a good one. If it's anything like his last two neighbors, Christian and Calais, it'd be nice. So, anyway, we got all that. Now it's time. We got a lot of work. Listen, we have beaten this up for 2 to 3 months. Hard. Making it a point why coaches are driving in and front office members to say, hey, man, we got some empty positions. We got some empty. Stay on it. And they did. I didn't know if they go defensive tackle. It's supposed to be a deep position. We need another offensive lineman. And if it has to be because we like this flexibility, tackle to guard, if you don't like a guy that's just a full-time guard, we got to find one. That thing needs to be upgraded. And if you're all in on Patrick Paul, that's great, but I'd still be getting another guy ready to go. And then on top of that, we need cornerbacks. And speaking of cornerbacks, Chris Greer spoke about cornerbacks last night.
Yeah, if we feel good. We feel it's a deeper group of guys where there's, and that's always a position that, and if you guys watch and study like you do, corners have come through all rounds here. And, you know, Kansas City in the past has played with guys. We're looking at, we're fifth and seventh rounders. Mike was talking in San Francisco, their Super Bowl year, the guys that were late round players playing. So it's a good draft with a lot of talented kids, and it's just, you know, finding the right one for us.
That's great. Do the work. Great. I'm not going to say we could throw the Cam Smith and Igbinoghene and all that stuff. I'm not going to do that. I just find some guys. You're going to have to play some young guys. Everybody knows that. You are going to have to play some young guys. Even if you end up going with the guys that have been around here for a couple years or year two for Storm, who was a rookie free agent, or even Cam Smith, who some people have given up on. He's going to get another shot at it in year three, a second-round pick. And so we'll see. But I hope they stay focused. And listen, I'm not saying reach for a guy. You know, I don't want to get to a point at guard or cornerback where you have them ranked. I mean, you do all this work. You don't want to throw it out and go, God, there's a couple other guys at other positions can help us. But you have some dark holes, man. Cornerback position is a dark hole when you look, and all you really have with proven experience is Kader Kohou. That's it. You got some safeties that have played some. You're counting on. That's great. I knew that was going to happen. You can't drop. You can't go out and get a bunch of free agents no matter what you pay them and not play some of them. So we do need some of those guys to play. But we need a couple of cornerbacks, and we need couple of offensive linemen, and we honestly need another defensive tackle in there. And then you can talk about all the other stuff we need to improve this thing as well. Hey, we got to go to break here, man. Get caught up. Lot of stuff. Lot of wild, wild stuff last night. I just, the draft, man, and they were banging the picks out. I mean, they had that thing timed out pretty. The commissioner was constantly coming up there and
there was
rolling.
A lot of people watching that thing in person last night.
Wow. First I heard 250,000.
I saw they stopped letting people in.
Then I saw 125,000, and then I was like, whatever it was, because there were a bunch of them in the stadium too, and outside the stadium, and you're like, wow. And first thing I thought, where the hell are all these people staying? Wait, Woody, unless there's a...
You got to have a screw loose, though, to go and stand in that sort of mass of people to try and get glimpse of a little
stage.
Woody,
you know what I thought? I'd be drinking beer. That's a beer-drinking night. I'd be, you know, they give me another beer, man.
Yeah, unless you're in the middle of that crowd and you have no way to get to a bathroom.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Or your beer stand or whatever.
No.
It's like being, you know what that looked like? It looked like one of those giant concert festival things.
Woody.
Right, where there's just like a million people standing watching a concert.
All I could think of is at this age, for older guys, you drink two or three beers. I'm going, God, I got to go to the bathroom here. I'm like, we're getting ready to pick. Oh, my God. And you're looking around. You can't get out. I mean, it's stuff with over 100,000 people. Woody, we got to go to break. Hold your
thoughts. Texter was right, though, about Chris Gristle and Omar's Vista View thing.
Oh, you can get corners anywhere?
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't go Day County, though. He said there's
late
a
rounds,
bunch of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Day County and then later rounds.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up
until
2.
Couldn't get a little Michigan Fight song or something?
Yeah, I found that weird too, Marcus. You came back with Miami, which is normally like when Leroy and I go do radio hits somewhere, what they play for us.
Yeah.
Well, and we're about to have Coach Luis Esposito on, and you're playing him Miami.
No, but he's
trying
coming
to welcome
to
him. This is your welcome for him?
I'm welcoming, he's a part of the family now.
Nice try.
Down to Miami.
Nice try.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood guest lot. Jump over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and toyotaofhollywood.com. Everybody fired up down here. Certainly, Stephen Ross was fired up because the Miami Dolphins drafted a Michigan Wolverine for the first time in the first round since Jake Long in 2008. Yesterday, they take Kenneth Grant, and we have Michigan Wolverines defensive line coach Lou Esposito joining us here. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you guys having me on.
This has to be a first, right? Top 15 D linemen from one team? That's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, we have great players, and you know better than anybody else, the development we do at Michigan's different. It's you got to get the right guys for the right fit, and then when they get here, they got to be tilted a certain way. And these guys are both tilted unbelievably. Like, they are great players, great people, great families. Like, KG is an absolute beast. And he is going to be something special. I can't wait to see him play.
Now, one of the shocking things for me is that because I went to the Texas game and I saw Mason and Ken standing next to each other. And I was like, wow, Mason's only like 270. No, he's like almost 302, and
he's actually over that. Like, he played the whole season between 310 and 315, and KG played the whole season between 330 and 340.
Right, that's crazy. I mean, that's crazy. Massive.
And we were able to do some things on defense last year because of those two guys. Right. You know, it's like anything else. When you have those guys inside, you can really force everything sideways and – which we use to our advantage, and those guys, they're special. KG is really special as well as Mason.
Now, one of the things that I was told is, like, we see Mason, he's all over the place, high motor, moves around quick or whatever, but people sleep on the quickness and the feet of KG. Why don't you tell us? Because I think that's going to be one of the biggest misnomers about him is because of his size, they don't realize how fleet of foot he is.
Yeah, and I think that in the whole process, in this whole draft process for him, you know, when it first started, all the coaches are like, hey, talk to me about his pass rush. If we're going to take a guy in the first round, talk to me about his pass rush. Every team asked the same question. I said, well, go watch the last six games. Like, literally, watch the Ohio State game. I mean, he had like nine pressures at nose tackle in Ohio State. He's such a good athlete. He's so explosive, and like when you watch him on his feet, like the thing that the trait that he has that is different than everybody else is a guy his size doesn't move like a guy that's 285 pounds, and he does. And he can beat guys with power because of his size. He can beat guys with hands because he plays with unbelievable fundamental hands, mm-hmm. and then he can outquick guys. And if you watch him, he'll power a guy, and then all of a sudden he sidesteps an arm over, and the guy's falling on his face. Then all of a sudden he comes back with a, you know, a shake bull to an arm over. So he has an unbelievable bag of moves that sometimes it gets overshadowed because of Mason. And Mason's elite. Right. And so is KG. Like, I truly believe if KG was on a different, like, KG would be the guy that everybody talked about. And we were just blessed to have both of them. And they're good in their own ways. And it's been a blessing. And you guys would be going to be so excited about KG and what he brings to the team.
Can you, Coach Luis Pizzillo here, Michigan defensive line coach, Coach Kenneth Grant in college, so very excited to have him on the show. That viral clip, of course, of him chasing down the running back, like when you watch this guy in practice and you see the explosion, just what goes through your head? Because it doesn't seem like it computes. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, it shows up, honestly, most of the time it shows up in pass rush. And it's not him rushing the passer. It's all of a sudden the quarterback breaks the pocket and he's running the guy down. I mean, there's three or four sacks that Jay Stu had this year that he's running the guy down from the front and he sees KG and slows down. And Jay Stu get, you know, tackle, sack fumble. And we see it every day in practice. And like, we talk about running out of the stacks. We talk about pillars here at Michigan, right? And effort and angles is one of the pillars we talk about. And KG was a mainstay on the tape. So we take clips from practice and games, and then we show the defense, hey, this is what it's supposed to look like. And he was a mainstay. Like, we use that still to this day of KG running out of stacks. And it's a screen. It's a toss. It's something on the perimeter. Like, because people don't run at him because you can't do it. Like, they try to get him going sideways.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest thing. When you have a guy that big that plays with that effort and that motor, and he can move the way he does. I mean, the guy on the basketball courts, I mean, bouncy and twitchy. You watch him. I mean, in high school, I remember watching him. I walked to a track meet, and I was at another school. Obviously, he went to Michigan. But, I mean, he threw a shot put. I'm like, who the hell just threw that? It was like 60 feet, and it was like effortless. So he is a big, phenomenal athlete that is only going to get better. And the key to him is he's not a 6'5", 6'6 kid. He's a 6'3 guy, 6'4 guy with 6'10 wingspan. So his natural pad level doesn't get high, and it's awesome. And he's going to be great.
Now, one of the things that I was amazed at, and you've probably been around football a long time, a guy that size in that good a shape never missed a game. That has to be one. I think of all the things that I heard, to be able to play like that and never miss a game at Michigan with the double teams, the attacks on his legs, the chasing, just getting caught up in the pile, just certain things happen. That is the most impressive thing to me, that he never missed a game.
I got a crazy story. So we're in camp, right? And you know, in Michigan, we practice differently.
Yeah.
Like, every week we go live on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I don't care. The week before Alabama, we're playing live in the bowl game. The week before Ohio State, we're going live. Our Beat Ohio drill. We go live. So we're in camp, and it's the dog days of camp. And I look at KG. I'm like, yo, you want me to get – I'm going to give you a couple plays off here to save you. And he looked at me. He goes, Coach, I ain't built that way. I ain't about that. And literally, I said, you got it. I said, you want to go racks of four or two? He goes, I don't give me four. Give me all of it, Coach. And from that moment, I knew
he was wired different, man.
Right. Yeah, he's wired. And the dude is so proud, and he's such a competitor. And all he wants to do is make people in his life proud. And the way he does that is with his football and how he acts off the field. Like, he's a home run, man. He's really good.
Man, I'm not going to lie, Coach. You just gave me the goosies. Like, that
goosies
was
galore.
I'm telling you, he said it to me, and I walked away. And it was one of the things you walk away, and I'm like, dude, I got goosebumps on my arm thinking about it.
Right.
He's a special young man, and he's going to be really, really good. And the other thing that nobody talks about with both of these kids, they just turned 21 years old. Like, I coached the fifth kid that's with the Rams. I went to Florida State for a year. I had him for five years at Western Michigan. like Fisk was 25. Like I had Marshawn Nealand, who got drafted by the Cowboys last year in the second round. Like he was 24. Like these guys are 20, 21 years old. They just turned 21. And shoot, who's the big D tackle that you guys got that had the 10 sacks? I can't believe I'm
Sealer.
Yeah, so I recruited him at Ferris State. Like, again, like those dudes were older when they got in the league. Like 3 years from now, these guys' bodies and KG's bodies and just their physical makeup is right. going to be totally different.
Right.
I can't wait to see what those two do together. I think that's going to be a fun thing with Sealer and KG together. That sounds like it's going to be pretty dynamic.
Yeah, it'll be pretty cool, man.
Yep.
I just want to get your coach your thoughts on this. Leroy Horde, of course, a proud Michigan Wolverine. What do you think of even in the midst of Ohio State winning the national championship, him mocking Ohio State fans for wanting their coach fired in an airport as he walks away to his flight?
I mean, bleed blue, bro.
You can't
blue, bro. Like that's what you do.
You can't brag about winning a national championship, and you didn't even want your coach 5 months ago. I'm not having it.
I'm with you, man. Like I stay out of all the fan stuff because it gets wild, and I want to keep my family out of it because sometimes people poke at my family and I get upset about it. But I mean, the it's crazy. Like if you just go back and like the same people that are like literally 5 weeks ago were like, get rid of them.
Right. So, I can't. You know what else? You know what else gets them, coach? I say, listen. In order to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. So the way I look at it, we back-to-back national champs. Oh, they hate that one.
So this is fun. Last night, I had all the guys over, right, because mm-hmm. we had a workout this morning. So they couldn't go to any of these draft parties or, you know, go see these guys. So I said, okay, I'm going to have all the guys over. We had all the D-line over. A couple of the position groups came over the house. We're in the basement. Guys are cheering. I'm not going to say who, but every time an Ohio State guy came up, you know, I'm 4-0 against that dude. I'm 3-0 against that dude. We're like,
yeah.
And again, like, it's just, we talk about it and they talk about it all the time. We could say whatever we want. They could paint whatever they want to paint. At the end of the day, that's the game. They don't name it the game for it not to mean anything. It means everything. And I think it's important. When you come to Michigan, that's one of the first things we say. Like Coach Moore has, you know, number one day one goals: beat your rivals.
Yep.
Beat the team down south. Like, and we talk about it every day. So, it's good.
Coach Lou Esposito joining us here, Michigan defensive line coach. What kind of influence did they leave? Like they're bringing, like, but as far as leaders in the room for your next guys, your next wave that's coming there. Like what can you say just about their leadership, their influence that they had on that room?
So football-wise, I could tell you, like, we went through a whole spring, first spring without them, obviously, for 3 years. And all the cut-ups that we make, hey, do it like Mace. Hey, you remember when Mace used to do this on the simulated pressure? You remember when KG used to do this? So we use that a lot. And then we've brought some guys in, some transfers in that are really good players, and it's like, hey, coach, can you pull up that call with Mace and KG running it? Yeah, here you go. Here's that twist. Here's that stunt. Here's the arm technique. And I think it's good. The other thing, before I forget, the Miami Dolphins defense, I mean, Coach Weave, the DC, worked with Wink for a long time. Mm-hmm. So the defensive vocabulary
is
very, very similar, like calls, techniques, everything. So, like, KG's going to go in there with a step up compared to a lot of other people. Like, we're talking about half and we're talking about padding back, like a lot of schemes. It's amazing. These guys go through all these interview processes, and I'm not going to say the teams, but like Mace and KG would come back like, coach, they don't even pad back. They're just running up the field and creating horizontal lanes. Like, we talk about the run wall and setting hard edges, and he's going to fit into what Miami does really, really well.
Pretty awesome. Coach Lou Esposito, thanks so much for giving us some time today. We're excited about it, and appreciate hopping on.
I'll hunt you up next time I come to a game because I went to the Texas game, but I'll come back. I'll look you up.
Yeah, next time you come back, we'll have a little bit better luck.
All right, yeah. All righty.
All right, guys.
All right.
There you go. Appreciate you, Coach. Thank you so much. Yep. There you go. Same. That is Lou Esposito, defensive line coach for the Michigan Wolverines.
How can you not be fired up?
That story gave me the goosies, dude. I'm very excited.
How can you not be fired up?
Very excited.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Frog Boy, how do you feel?
No, listen. Before I was like, yeah, we needed to fill a position. Now I'm excited. Now I feel like I know things more, that he's just like a smarter player, how he affects the game more. And that story that coach told. Listen.
Hey.
Hey.
Wow.
That was good.
Hey, Leroy. Good job. That's good producing.
That's good producing.
That's producing.
Hey, man.
Hey, that was put together in like 25 minutes.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
And first of all, one of the things that I wanted to know, because when I was on the field and I saw the two of them together, Mason looks so much smaller than Kenneth that I thought Mason was like 300, 315, and Mason was a little bit smaller. So that's why I always thought, man, he's 300 and Kenneth is 340.
That's
when you watch them play, they are all over the field.
Dade South points out, you got to guess the curse this time.
Hey, I got to fire up.
And then Schmeathen says, how about you produce an apology to the children listening?
Hey, he got up in his feelings about
he recruited Sealer too. How about that?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was good. Weaver defense.
And guess what? He broke it down one step further because he talked about Weaver and Wink and how it's going to be an easy transition. So now that all this has been said, and you look at the Dolphins draft and you think of how all these things tie in and how easily he's going to be able to come in and play, not a bad pick. I learned some stuff.
Pretty fired up, dude.
Right. Man.
Pretty fired up.
Well, guess what the line is for tomorrow? Heat and Cavs, first home game for the Heat, 1 o'clock game.
Cavs minus 6.5.
Alana?
Cavs minus 7.
Cavs minus 6.
Yeah. You know what I did see? Because I was traveling all day. I was watching the Darius Garland stuff of him roasting Tyler Hero about his defense.
Tyler Hero had some comments back today.
What'd he say?
At their shoot around. I think I saw
practice.
Barry Jackson or Ira. Let's see.
Like his Darius Garland, his initial answer was the truth, and then he got into basketball talk. How can you be this successful? Man, go at Tyler Hero. And don't dribble in tight spaces and attack weaker defenders.
He's soft.
Yeah, Ira Winderman.
He wanted to call him out and then he backtracked.
Ira Winderman tweets out, Tyler Hero says he basically could care less about what Darius Garland had to say about his defense, says he has enough fuel for this series regardless. Tyler Hero on Darius Garland's pointed take on his defense, quote, and to go to the media to talk about game plans against a guy kind of says a lot about him. That's from Tyler Hero.
I like Tyler, but that's soft.
But I thought I saw someone write that he said Darius Garland doesn't play any defense.
I'm about to say, directly, purposely attacks you and you say, oh, that's not cool to go and tell a game plan. No, he's talking about you, son.
Yeah, this is from Barry Jackson. Hero rips Garland's defense. Says he doesn't need any motivation from that guy.
Yeah, what he said, Hawk, was I heard him say, he said something along the lines of, like, somebody who doesn't play defense shouldn't be talking about defense.
Right.
Yeah. I've been killing Darius Garland all year long, so I'm not defending Darius Garland, but just
I love a verbal battle against two players who don't play defense. About who plays less defense.
I love a battle against two guys that have to actually go play here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Yeah.
It's an easy take to have, though, if you're Darius Garland. Like, oh, the guy that dropped a 30 burger on us? Yeah, that guy doesn't play any defense. Like, well, what about you? You just dropped a 30 burger on you. You just have a better team, guy.
I'm telling you, I don't think Darius Garland is carrying any team anywhere, but yeah.
Well, what I'll tell you was, it was unfiltered. He got asked a question right after the game. And the filter wasn't on yet. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're going after Tyler. Like, and he wouldn't have said that 9 out of 10 times. He just got caught in a moment where he told you exactly what they were doing. I mean, there was no lie there. That's what they were doing, and he confirmed it. Like, we knew it after the game. We knew it during the game.
It's not. He's not breaking news. You can watch the game and see when they start picking and running those little picks. Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. Tyler's on him. Now we got offense.
But I do think, Hawk, there's some chippiness going on in game two. The Heat turned up the physicality. The Cavs were a little annoyed with how that game got closer in the fourth quarter. So I saw Hero and Garland kind of exchanging words at times. And Hero had said something prior to game two when asked about how he was being picked on. He kind of lit the flame a little bit where he's like, yeah, I know what they're doing, but no big deal. Like, I'll be able to overcome it. Kind of like downplaying how good those guys were in game one. So to me, Darius Garland got up there, like you said, and he's like, yeah, we're picking on Tyler Hero. And then he kind of realized, like, uh-oh, that's headline material. Let me dial
right,
back
what
a little
did I just
bit.
Say? Yeah. Well, I got Tyler going for 40 tomorrow and also picking up his 6th foul in the third quarter, being very overzealous on defense.
I like what Jim Larrañaga said, where now Bam needs to be more aggressive on those bigs. So I lost the Bam over. I think I'm going to ride with the Bam over again because Bam got to do something offensively. Even though, Solana, to your point, 9 assists, 14 rebounds, Bam is our all-star. But I want to see some more balls fall through that damn net.
Larrañaga said as well, though, if you look at 9 assists, if you go minimum 2 points on every one of those assists, he's accounting for 18 more points than the stats show. Now, you could also do a little reverse math on that, too, and say how many were genuine assists or how many times are you just passing a ball out and somebody doesn't take a dribble. And you know what I mean? Like, sometimes there's an assist. Sometimes you get credited for an assist. So
I thought about it when Coach said it, because if he had 9 assists, how many passes did he make? Because if the guy misses it, it's not an assist. But I wasn't going to press Jim Larrañaga on anything because I don't know basketball as well as him.
But it's the double-edged sword of game one. Bam took a lot of shots, made a lot of points, had a lot of points, but the Heat got routed. Yeah, because the Heat took what the Cavs were giving them, and the Cavs just out shoot you from three, so the math doesn't work. In game two, Bam has to take more threes. The Heat are committing to take more threes, as Coach L said, and he leads the team in screen assists. So even if he doesn't get the actual assists, he's actually the one setting the screen to open up the action offensively, which is why I hate, oh, Bam had 11 points. He sucks. Well, no, it's not painting the full picture of how important
right,
he is to the offense.
Right, but to pay a guy max money and say right, set screens right. is not
it's
exact.
Not sexy.
I mean, that's not how you earn your max contract.
I could be a $100 million screen setter. But no, Solana, no, something else too, Coach Jay was talking about. You said he's shooting threes, he's taking middies. You're not going to get Jared Allen or Mobley in foul trouble taking middies. Go at their chest and make them foul you. We've took less foul shots in both games back-to-back. We're not taking a lot of fouls because nobody's going in the paint.
Cleveland leads the series in rim attempts. So these are shots in the restricted area at the rim, 37-22. The Heat's rim frequency, so extrapolated over 100 possessions, as a team has been lower in these two games than the number 30 team in the regular season. So, yeah, there's a huge issue with them
to get in
getting
there with
to the
big
ring.
Fellas.
Yeah, yeah. It's a huge issue.
That's
for
the
sure.
thing. You turn that corner and look down the alley and see two big old dudes standing there, two big silhouettes, and you
I'm
say,
good
no,
out here.
I'll walk around. I'll walk around the block. I don't need
I
to take this shortcut.
I actually like that long route, you know, that we take around the lake.
I'm telling you. You
John
see
Charania tweets out, Ja Morant will miss game 4. He got injured last night. I think everyone saw it. Did you want to play a little sound for us? Solana was with Niko Jovic today.
It's not in the system right now. It's not in the system, so I can't play for you right now.
It's 4:15.
I know. I've just forgot to put it in the system.
And you're leaving at 5.
Yeah, I forgot to put it in the system.
You told me before the show started, when we get to 15 minutes of Heat, I'd like for you to play some of the sound that I got with Niko Jovic today.
Yeah, but I forgot to put it in the system.
Huh. He made a CD and was playing it in his bedroom this morning.
It's a short turnaround. Give me a break. The Heat players didn't come out till super late from practice. I got here, and we've been busy over here.
You told me at 1:30. We've been busy back here. It's 4:15. You're leaving in 45 minutes.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Well, I got Whittingham coming up next. We won't get to it.
Tomorrow, 1:15 on Preheat. 12:15, actually.
Did you spend a lot of time with him? How long?
A lot while.
All right. Fair enough. Let's get go. Excellent. Well played. It was all worth it just for that. Let's get headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Were you weird? Because you get weird when you like a player.
I might have hit him with a brother a couple times.
We've all shot air balls, brother.
I know you got a little weird on him.
I think 1 for 8 was just fine, brother. Don't listen to anything anybody's saying.
I do like that you owned up to it, though. I try to say that to my son all the time. He doesn't seem to gather that lesson. But you owned up to it. Hey, I didn't put it in the system. You didn't start that way. You started with it's not in the system. You started with not taking any ownership. But then you realized I'm not going to be able to worm my way out of this. So you said, I forgot. And then you said, I forgot. So you started with your normal shenanigans. It's not in the system, as if there was a system problem. And then you made a quick calculation. You went, I forgot to put it in, which I am just delighted with.
You're raising them up right.
I feel like you've earned your allowance.
My deep feeling was really to just throw Jimmy under the bus somehow. My intuition was to throw somebody under the bus.
Yeah, I figured engineering was going to get thrown under the bus or someone. I appreciate you being honest.
Yeah. Did you see the comments Bam had about, and you know, the media scrum love this, obviously, about the Heat having the worst home record in the playoffs for the last 4 years? And he was asked about, like, fans showing up to games late. And he's like, bro, people don't realize how nasty the South Florida traffic is. So who cares if they're not in their seats at tip-off tomorrow because it's an early start?
And it's going to be empty at 1 o'clock. I'm telling you right now, if you want to take pictures at 1 o'clock, look, it's 1 o'clock. We got to stop at Jackson's, get an ice cream. This is what we do in South Florida. Well, I'll get there by 1:30.
The Marlins. They opened up their series with a 6-3 win over the Reds.
All right.
Yeah, tell you. Fish are fun this year.
Hey, can I just say
this? The fish are fun this year.
Can you stop?
Why?
Yeah.
I can't never tell by your text if they're winning or losing.
I had, yeah, based off of your text, I
lied.
What do you mean?
They've lost every game this year.
You're a little aggressive when it comes
meatball
to the
ball. Here it comes. Meatball.
Well, no. I was just pepping up Kyle Stowers because you were hosing him down the other day.
Mm. Why?
Because I was explaining that Kyle Stowers has a good eye, and you're like, he swung and missed on one pitch. You're like, some eye.
Well, isn't that how we do it?
Oppo Taco yesterday, dude.
Wait,
a 3-run bombski.
In all seriousness.
I'll take that.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't tell me a guy's a contact hitter.
I didn't say he was a contact hitter.
So he had a good eye.
Hello!
Hey.
Wow.
The world noticed.
Wow.
I'm glad that you had to come in with a whole gaggle of people
witnesses
watching you late.
A gaggle of people.
A fishbowl in here. I don't like it.
A fishbowl.
I'm glad people get to see you tardy on the train.
Is that better than a bird bath?
So anyway, I didn't say he was a contact hitter. I said he has a great eye.
He
has a great eye.
Okay.
Good eye, mate.
You should have seen this pitch that he hit yesterday.
Great eye?
Yeah. He has a great eye.
Yeah.
He's grown a lot. Last year, he was a whiffer. This year...
Well,
takes
you
walks.
Can't bring my attention to the guy, and the first thing he does is whiff.
He was one pitch.
I'm just saying.
Oppo
you got me
Taka.
All excited about.
But speaking of whiffs, this Max Meyer. Wow. 14 strikeouts yesterday in 6 shutout innings.
Wow.
Hasn't been done since the likes of Randy Johnson.
What?
Sorry.
That's what are you doing?
That's how it works. That is how it works.
I got to say.
Yeah.
We brought up our new catcher yesterday, Augustin Ramirez.
Oh, yes.
He looked good. A couple hits for him.
Yeah.
Got a ground rule double.
Yeah.
Got his first hit with an infield single.
Prospects.
Promise. Is that the worst way to
He's the guy we got for Jazz Chisholm.
Hey, is that the worst way to get your first hit?
Infield single?
Yeah.
A little anticlimactic. He got a real one, though.
You got it. That being said, you got to do some intangible crap to get on first base. Run hard.
He ran hard.
Slide into the base or something crazy.
I got to tell you, Peter Bendix may be onto something.
Oh.
He may be onto something.
Is it a retraction?
Perhaps I was too harsh. Maybe his maybe his nerd ways are starting to come together. Look, they're still under 500.
Was he here?
But they're a respectable watch.
Did he trade Jazz Chisholm or was Jazz traded before?
No, he traded him.
He traded him.
Sent his ass to the Yankees. But this is the guy he got for him.
Okay.
Augustin Ramirez.
Okay. And here's the thing.
And he's a hitting catcher.
About baseball, like how good a guy is or when he's gonna play in the big leagues has nothing to do with his talent. It's about the control. It's about who's playing in front of him. So when you make these trades for prospects, you really don't know except what you've heard. Oh, he's on the top. He's one of the top 10 prospects. Oh, he's this, he's that.
I'm also used to like all these prospects coming up and hitting like 100, yeah, 120. Yeah. Like, nobody comes on and makes a great first impression. And I feel like the guys who are coming up, like, yeah, these guys are actually doing things.
I mean, Yelich, wasn't Yelich traded?
Dude, that was 15 years. How long was Yelich ago?
I mean, that's all I got.
Like how long was that?
That's all I got.
What are you doing?
That's all I got.
Yelich.
Wait, you.
Crow days.
Besmirch.
This is a new era. A new era is
besmirching Yelich. I'm telling you, nothing.
You besmirch Yelich. You brought him up out of nowhere.
Brought him up.
He was a Punch and Judy hitter when he first brought up.
Because he was young.
Eh,
I said that. Remember, this is how it all started.
Mm-hmm.
With your mouth. Way back then.
I spoke the truth.
And then you had to eat a street bird.
Mm. Crow days.
By the way, I'm telling you, something about these fish. I don't know. There's something about them. Once the Sandy gets it together, all right, let's say hopefully.
He ain't getting no sleep right now.
But if he gets it together, and then we got Yuri Perez, now we got Yuri,
yeah.
Sandy, Max Meyer, and I got to tell you.
Hmm? Well, you included Max Meyer in this because
a couple weeks ago, Max Meyer's been amazing.
Okay.
Max Meyer's been amazing. He's been their best pitcher, bar none. One of the best pitchers in the league.
Yeah.
Oh.
And here's the dirty little secret, boys.
Uh-oh.
And girls, fish hit a little bit. They're putting up some runskies.
Honestly, they're doing way better than I thought they would.
They're putting up some runs. Even the other game, they were getting the doors blown off them. And they score, you know, 6 of the 9th. They make it respectable 11-10. Not too bad. It's a watchable product.
That's the most important thing. Even though you don't know anybody, you're getting to know them. This is like meeting your new neighbors.